Our scripture reading today is taken from two passages of the New Testament. The first from the book of Acts, chapter 13. We read the verses 43 to 52. And then the second is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the verses 1 through 6. Let us hear the word of God. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Our second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the verses 1 through 6. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And now the last verse, verse 6, forms our text. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. Dear friends, in almost every sphere of life, we should aim for a sense of balance. We should eat a balanced diet. We should balance work and pleasure and family time. We should balance our emotions. Even the preaching of God's word should be balanced. When we aim for balance, we ensure that we do not veer too far over to the left or to the right. We stay right in the middle, which is often best. Our Lord also aimed for balance in his teaching. Last week we reflected on our Lord's teaching on judging others from Matthew 7, the verses 1 through 5. And we saw that our Lord in these verses forbids his followers from harboring a judgmental spirit towards others. He forbids looking down our noses at others, dismissing and even condemning others over relatively unimportant and secondary matters. Now, if we take this to an extreme, we could end up accepting almost anything, any teaching, any lifestyle, on the grounds that we may not judge. And this, in fact, is exactly what has happened in the church today. Many Christians today are so careful not to offend or judge anyone that they end up accepting and believing almost anything. But this is wrong. There is still such a thing as truth and error, right and wrong. And our calling as Christians is to distinguish between these two things, uphold the one and reject the other. Now our Lord knows this. And that is why, after warning us not to judge, he goes on to state the words of our text. And there Jesus says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Our Lord here balances judging with discrimination and discernment. While we are commanded not to judge, we are also commanded to discriminate and discern. We are not to give that which is holy to the dogs or cast our pearls before swine. Now, what does that mean exactly? And how does that apply to us today? This is what we want to consider with the Lord's help today. The theme for the sermon is casting pearls before swine. We have here, first of all, a strong prohibition, and secondly, a disturbing warning. Jesus in our text issues a strong prohibition. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." Now, Jesus here speaks of that which is holy and pearls. The phrase "that which is holy" is probably a reference to the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. The law of Moses stated that when the priests offered an animal as a burnt offering to the Lord, some of the meat of the sacrifice was burnt up on the altar, and some was eaten by the priests, and some was taken home by the person who offered the sacrifice, who would then feed it to his family. Now, the part that was burnt up on the altar was consecrated exclusively to the Lord, and was therefore holy, set apart, sanctified by God. No one was to eat of that part of the sacrifice. To do so would be an act of sacrilege. Now, pearls, as you know, are tiny, round jewels that are found inside of certain shellfish. In ancient times, even more so than today, they were considered extremely valuable. You may recall the parable that Jesus told of the pearl of great price, and how the man in that parable was prepared to sell all that he had in order to purchase that one pearl. Well, the meat and the pearls represent the gospel, including everything that is connected to the gospel. Like the meat of the sacrifices, the gospel is holy, set apart by God. And like the pearls, it is precious and valuable, because it tells us how we can avoid eternal death and receive the gift of eternal life. And it is the only book that does so. No other religious writing tells us how we can be saved. Now, concerning this meat and these pearls, Jesus issues a strong prohibition. He says we are not to cast this meat to the dogs or the pearls to the swine. And when Jesus speaks of dogs, he's not referring, of course, to domesticated pet dogs. In biblical times, people did not normally keep dogs in their homes like we do. They most certainly did not pamper and preen them. The dogs that Jesus is referring to here were dogs that roamed the dumps and the alleyways, scavenging for food. They were dirty, greedy, snarling, and often vicious and diseased. And as such, they were dangerous and despised. In fact, the word "dog" was often used by the Jews to refer to the Gentiles. Jesus himself did so when he spoke to the Syrophoenician woman. Swine were equally despised. Like dogs, swine were generally seen rooting through the garbage dumps, scavenging for food. They could also be quite vicious. They could attack each other or even a human being if provoked. What is more, they were classified in the law of Moses as unclean, meaning no Jew was permitted to eat their flesh. Now, who are represented by these dogs and hogs? Well, the dogs and hogs represent those who are antagonistic to the gospel. They are dogs and hogs because dogs and hogs are the most despicable creatures imaginable. And such are those who despise the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are no better than dogs and hogs. Now, we might not think that Jesus was very nice calling such people names like that, much less very winsome. But when it comes to those who despise and reject the truth, we cannot be harsh enough. Such peoples are indeed, as Jesus says, dogs and hogs. In fact, the Apostle Jude uses even harsher language. In Jude verse 4, Jude describes false teachers as ungodly, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. A few verses later, he calls these same false teachers filthy dreamers, brute beasts, spots in your feasts of charity, clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Well, we have that same language here in our text. Jesus refers to those who are antagonistic to the gospel as dogs and hogs. And our Lord's point is just as we must not give holy meat to dogs or costly pearls to swine, so we must not endlessly present the gospel or anything else that God regards as holy and precious to those who by their antagonism and fierce opposition have demonstrated that they have no desire for it and are not worthy of it. Now, to be sure, we are commanded to present the gospel to all men. And we are to do this as wisely and as patiently and as winsomely and as lovingly as possible, even with tears, like the Apostle Paul, urging sinners to repent of their sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not to do this endlessly. There is a limit. If they respond with antagonism, we not only may, but we must desist. Now, didn't Jesus do the same? When it came to his disciples, our Lord was extraordinarily patient and long-suffering. When Thomas refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, rather than turn his back on him, Jesus appeared to him a week later, and when he did, he invited him to put his finger in the holes in his hands and to thrust his hand into the gash in his side. Peter denied the Lord three times, even though he vowed he would never do such a thing. But when our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter before any of the other disciples. He also restored him to his rightful place as an apostle of Jesus Christ by asking him three times if he loved him. James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy the cities of Samaria who refused to welcome the Lord Jesus. But Jesus, you remember, rebuked them, saying, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Jesus was patient and long-suffering with his disciples and with all who did not know better. But he was not so with those who did. Herod, for example, heard the preaching of John the Baptist, even gladly. And he heard that it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. He heard about the coming judgment and his need to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but Herod did not listen. And when Salome, Herodias' daughter, asked him for the head of John the Baptist, he agreed. Herod heard the gospel, but he outright rejected it. And as a result, only a few hours before he was led away to be crucified, when Jesus stood before that same Herod, he refused to answer any of his questions. Similarly, when Jesus reflected on the unbelief of the cities of Galilee, he pronounced a curse on them. And he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Jesus also taught his disciples that whoever would not receive them, nor hear their words, they were to shake off the dust from their feet and leave. And in the parable of the barren fig tree, he taught that God's patience, though prolonged, is not endless. The day would come when the tree, if it still did not bear fruit, would be cut down. In fact, it appears the apostles took this very teaching to heart. We read earlier from Acts chapter 13. There we read that when the Jews at Antioch rejected the message preached by Paul and Barnabas, and even stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts, Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Similarly, when the Jews at Corinth refused to believe that Jesus was the Christ and blasphemed, Paul shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." You see the point? The point is that while we must share the gospel with all men, we must not endlessly present it to those who reject and despise it, even if they are our loved ones. To do so, Jesus says, is to throw holy meat to the dogs and to cast our pearls before the swine. And Jesus, therefore, commands us not to do this. Now, why does he say this? Brings us to our second point. Jesus gives two reasons why we should not cast our pearls before the swine. First, he says, lest they trample them under their feet. To trample something underfoot is to treat it with utter disdain and revulsion. The gospel, however, and all that which is connected to the gospel, is far too precious to be trampled. To allow the gospel, especially the Christ of the gospel, to be trampled under the feet of men is like standing by and watching someone trample under their feet the flag of Canada or the flag of the United States or a photograph of your husband or wife or members of your family, only infinitely more so. It's an insult. It's a slap in the face. It's a great indignity. We must never allow dogs and hogs to treat the gospel like that. Therefore, Jesus says, we are not to cast our pearls before swine. But he gives another reason why we should not do this. Lest they rend you to pieces. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Our Lord imagines the following scenario. A man throws some pearls at some hungry swine. And the swine think that there's something to eat, and so they begin to eat them. But when they discover that they're tasteless and inedible, they spit them out of their mouths, and they get angry. And they even attack the one who cast them, as if to get even with them, and even to rend them to pieces, which isn't far-fetched, as wild pigs in Palestine, like dogs, were known to be quite vicious. So Jesus says it is for those who are antagonistic towards the gospel. The more you try to feed them the gospel, the more antagonistic they get. And they may even try to do you harm. Now, isn't that also what happened to Paul and Barnabas in Antioch in Pisidia? What happened when Paul and Barnabas kept preaching the gospel? We read that the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Such is the reaction of all who are antagonistic towards the gospel. The more they hear it, the more antagonistic they get. And Jesus knows this, and so he commands us not to cast our pearls before the swine. We're reminded here how blind and wicked man is in his natural condition. With respect to the truth of God, man by nature is no better than a dog or a hog. The Apostle Paul confirms this in Romans 1, verse 28 to 32, when Paul writes that as men did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And in Romans 8, verse 7, he writes that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Such is man in his natural condition, and such are we all. Apart from the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, we will remain in this condition forever. You and I will remain hogs and dogs. Oh, how grateful you should be then if you are a true believer today. God has caused His Word to penetrate into your mind and heart, transforming you from a dog and a hog into sons and daughters of God. Now, that's not your doing. That is His doing. And therefore to Him belongs all the glory and the honor. Allow me to close with just a few concluding lessons. First of all, if Christ forbids us to cast our pearls before the swine, then how precious is the gospel? Jesus compares the gospel to meat that has been set apart for God and to rare, precious pearls. Let me ask you, is the gospel also holy and precious to you? And if so, does that show itself in your life? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you meditate upon it? And most importantly, do you do what it says? Second lesson is this. If Christ forbids us to cast our pearls before swine, then how necessary it is to share the gospel with others. The gospel is not meant simply to be admired like an expensive painting in an art museum. It's meant to be shared and proclaimed. And who is to do this? Well, the minister, of course, but not just the minister. But every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is commanded to share the gospel with others. Jesus assumes as much in our text. He speaks of giving food and casting pearls. And by that he implies that this is precisely what his followers ought to do. They ought to give and cast the pearls to others around them. Well, let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you sharing the gospel with your neighbors, your friends, and your co-workers? Are you actively praying for opportunities to do so? Oh, I know it's not easy. We sometimes get nervous and we don't always know what to say. And there is, as we have seen, a limit. But we must do it. This is part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Third lesson, if Christ forbids us to cast our pearls before swine, then how discerning we should be when sharing the gospel with others. When sharing the gospel, we must avoid a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach. We must learn to tailor-make our presentation to the audience depending on their background and their situation in life. You can't deal with everyone in the same way. Jesus and the apostles didn't do that either. Jesus dealt with Nicodemus one way and the woman at the well quite another way. Paul presented the gospel differently to the Jews in Antioch than he did to the Greeks in Athens. We need grace and discernment from God to know which approach is best and when to employ that approach. Fourthly, if Christ forbids us to cast our pearls before swine, then how earnest we should be to believe the gospel. As we've seen, Jesus compares the gospel to pearls. Now, if you were offered a pearl for nothing, would you take it? Of course you would. You'd be a fool if you didn't. Well, how much more should we receive the pearl of the gospel. Let me ask you, have you done that? Or are you still a dog and a hog? You might never say so yourself. In fact, it's possible that people even think that you are a fine, upstanding Christian. You come to church, you support the work of the church, you do everything that a Christian is supposed to do, but deep down inside you are antagonistic. You're willing to go through the motions, but no more. Your idols sit upon the throne of your heart rather than God. You serve your idols rather than God. In fact, you resent the gospel for the demands that it places on you. You resent the gospel because it demands that you repent of your sins and take up your cross and live a new and holy life, but you don't want to repent of your sins. You love your sins and you have no desire or intention of parting from your sins. Oh, I must tell you today that God regards you as a hog and a dog. What is more, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath on the day of judgment. The writer of the Hebrews warns against this. In Hebrews 10, verse 28 and 29, he says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Oh, do you see what the writer to the Hebrews is saying? He's saying that as long as you do not respond to the call of the gospel and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're treading underfoot like a dog and a hog the Son of God, and doing despite to the Spirit of grace. And do you think that God will allow that sin to go unpunished? He most certainly will not. Rather, he will come and execute his wrath upon you. He will tread you underfoot, even as you tread his Son underfoot. What an ominous warning. But thanks be to God, we are still in the day of grace. And the Lord has not executed his wrath upon you yet. On the contrary, he continues to cast his pearls before you. And he pleads with you, even now, to respond to his overtures of grace. My friend, will you do so this very day? Do not try his patience any longer. The consequences could be disastrous. Amen.